I'd like you to turn in your Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And I'm beginning a three-week series this morning entitled One Another. I just for some reason sense an urgency from the Holy Spirit to land on this subject for a few Sundays. Obviously, we're able to see one another a little bit more right now, but for reasons far beyond that, I feel an urgency of the Spirit that there's something of word he wants to give us in, as we talk about this idea of one another. And today we're going to talk about provoking one another. My wife asked me a few days ago, what's the title of the sermon this Sunday? I said, provoking one another. And she said, that's what I do to you a lot, right? And I think she meant that negative. I said, of course not, you don't do that to me. But I would just like you to look around just for a minute. God's word is going to give you permission to provoke everybody around you. So get ready. And here's where it comes from, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. I'm going to read out four different English versions. Here's the one I usually use, New International Version. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let's give attention. Let's consider how we spur one another on towards love and good deeds. The New King James Version is this. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good deeds. And the New American Standard Version, which is the most literal of all of our English translations, it says, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good works. So to spur on, to stir up, to stimulate. And my favorite is the traditional King James Version when it comes to verse 24. And let us consider one another to what? Provoke. To provoke unto love and to good works. Just go ahead and provoke each other. For the result that there's going to be love and good works flowing out of our lives in a way that wouldn't ordinarily be possible. The word picture is taking a poker when the fire has died down in a fireplace and poking away until that log combusts again. It's a poking. Let's poke away at each other's lives so that in the end there'll be more love and good works come out of each one of our lives. So spur on, stir up, stimulate, or provoke. All of these things were to do with one another. Now, those two words, one another, you'll find in every one of those four verses. And they translate not two words in the Greek language that Paul's writing, but only one word. And it's a beautiful word. I love this word. It's the word alleluia. Alleluia. Not hallelujah, but alleluia. It means in the Greek, one another. And alleluia turns up in the New Testament 59 times in the context of talking about what one another life with each other in Jesus looks at. Now, I don't know if this is good news for you or not, but when you get Jesus, you get one another. I know the love Jesus, hate church crowd hates that idea. But in God's plan, when you get Jesus, you get one another. You get his family. And obviously 59 times giving us one another instructions makes this pretty important in the New Testament. One another is that beautiful word, alleluia. You just said provoke a minute ago out loud. Say alleluia with me. Alleluia. That's a great word. Now, there's something you often hear, a statement you often hear me make, and I stand by this statement totally today, and it's this. No one can do your growing for you. I mean, nobody can be hungry for God for you. Nobody can meditate on Scripture for you. Nobody can walk in the Spirit all week for you. No one can go deep for you. I mean, we all are responsible for our own spiritual lives. But while that is very true, the other side of that coin is another statement that I also stand by this morning, and that is none of us can reach our potential alone. I mean, no one can do our growing for us, but on the other hand, none of us can ever achieve our dreams all alone. So let's say you're a middle school student or a high school student right now, and you're involved in sports this summer, maybe you're playing baseball or something, and you know what? Nobody can do your practicing for you. Nobody can do your work. It's not like you get to sit in a lounge chair and watch somebody else work out and you're the one who gets in shape as a result. Yeah, it just doesn't work. Nobody can do this stuff for you. No one can do your practicing for you. On the other hand, if you're going to become a better athlete, or if your team is going to even remotely win one or two or more games, you probably won't be able to do it without a good coach. I mean, I don't know any Olympian that's ever won a gold medal and done it all by themselves. No, it's years of coaching. It's those people who just poke you, provoke you, who just push you on, believe in you in ways you don't believe in yourself, and just have this way of spurring on and stirring up and stimulating or provoking you to achieve things you couldn't alone. This is just part of the way that life works. I want to show you a picture of one of those people in my life. I'm not an athlete, but I did study rocket science for 9 years in University of Minnesota. And just a couple of weeks before I started my freshman year at Winona State University in southeastern Minnesota, I was 17 years old, soon to turn 18, I met that guy. I never did meet his wife because when we were together for 2 years, he was a junior and I was a freshman. And for the 2 years we did have together, his name's Dwayne Fleming. We were both single guys. And Dwayne was like the most passionate 20-year-old for God I'd ever met. I mean, this guy just, and you know, he didn't lecture me, but he just was, he was comfortable with spiritual conversation. Even my church friends, you know, when you're out of church, it's awkward to talk about spiritual things. I mean, he'd talk about the basketball game last night in one breath, and then what God showed him in his time alone with God that morning. I mean, he did spiritual conversation. He just was who he was. He was a 20-year-old kid, and he was leading the InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. He was the student leader of the InterVarsity Christian Fellowship group. And so that guy, just before I started my freshman year, he said, "You need to come and get involved in the campus ministry." By the way, I'm going to preach here just for a moment. If you're going to a secular university this year, you need one another. I mean, it is hostile. You will never be in a more hostile spiritual environment than in a secular university. And I've seen so many Christian students with all good intentions in their freshman year to stay faithful to Jesus. I've seen so many wash out because they chose not to do the one another stuff. Well, I don't have time for a Bible study. I'm here to learn something. So I'm not here for time for, I don't have time for a campus ministry. I don't have time to witness to my friends. You sit on the fence that way, you're going to get creamed in a secular university spiritually. And Dwayne did an amazing thing for me. He made sure that week one, I was in a Bible study at Winona State University. And then it went there. And you know, he never sat down. He was a speech major. He's an amazing communicator. He was a speech major. But he never lectured me on this stuff. He just took me with him. He took me with him to the first campus ministry meeting my first week in college. He took him with me to Bible studies. He took me with him to prayer meetings. He took me with him to leadership meetings at a time where I could never conceive leading anything. And I wasn't even a leader, but he just took me with him. And he's the guy who introduced me to my life of crime, right? All of you have heard some of this story before, where he figured out how to pick the lock of a big old historic church building right beside Winona State University. And we used to break in to that church 3 times a week. I mean, he broke in and just took me with him. This is what I call discipleship by dragging around. And he innocently led me into this life of crime. And we'd go into that church, and 3 afternoons a week, I mean, Dwayne would just get on his face on the, we'd come up on the platform and just call out to God. And I tell you, this started like rattling. Even though I grew up in this all my life, I'd never met anybody almost my age who was living it out like this. And we just passionate. He'd call out for Winona State University, "God, do this." And we saw some things happen just before he graduated and I transferred as a junior to the University of Minnesota to continue engineering. But we saw something happen. But years later, one of my ministry interns, I sent down to Winona State to start an Assemblies of God Chi Alpha ministry. And that ministry is still there today and thriving. And we ended up buying that building that Dwayne and I used to break into. And I go back every year now, and thousands of students over the last 20 years have come to Christ because of Dwayne. A 20-year-old kid on his face calling out for university. I mean, this began to imprint me incredibly. It set me up to thrive spiritually as a university student, not get wiped out. And And you know, even though we were only together two years, I mean, I still live out of things that were implanted in my life because Dwayne became one of those guys that God used to provoke me to love and good works. After I went to the University of Minnesota, then came into my life people like John Cushell and Dave Gable and Dennis Gaylor and Dr. George Wood, and they that just takes me up to 30 years ago, let alone the great church staff like I get to work with here at Central and all of you. I mean, we spur on one another to love and good work. We can't do this alone. I mean, I never gave somebody else responsibility for my spiritual growth. On the other hand, none of us can reach our potential spiritually or in any other way alone. That's why one another is so golden. That's why allelus is such a beautiful word. But, you know, it'd be easy to say, well, I'm not a Dwayne, so, I mean, how do I stir up? How do I provoke others to love and good works? Well, it's not that hard, but it's going to take a few intentional things. So I'm going to visit with you. We're going to spend a little more time in some one another verses in the New Testament. And very quickly, I'm going to give you four things that you can do to position yourself to provoke others and to be provoked by others to what you need to become spiritually. And first of all, we need just to stay connected somehow. Pastor Anthony, would you stand? And this is our connections pastor, Pastor Anthony. We love him. Don't you love seeing him online and all that? And Cynthia, stand up. And the amazing lady who works with him. We love the healthy connection in their marriage. But Anthony is also the connect pastor. But one thing I say to our staff team, and one thing I want to say to all of you, it's not just his job. We got to stay connected. All of us have to take responsibility. Thank you. You can be seated. To stay connected somehow. And the reason I added the word somehow was it's not easy these days when we all got to stay distant. And up to last week, we couldn't even meet together for 4 months. I mean, this is not easy stuff. But look, verse 24 again. I'm going to go back to the New International Version. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good works. But in the New International Version, it's not a period there, it's a comma. Not giving up meeting. That's how the sentence continues. How do we spur one another on towards love and good works? First of all, it's not by staying away from each other. It's by not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, unfortunately, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. I was praying with our pastoral team over Zoom early this morning, and Pastor Crystal, she heard this message as it was pre-recorded last night in the online campus, and she said, I felt like the Lord spoke to me so much. Some of us are getting casual and comfortable with our isolation. And we cannot afford to do that. He said things are going to get worse as you see the day, capital D, approaching. That's the second coming of Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, in America, the environment, culture is going to become more and more hostile to who we are, and people are going to get sucked into it. Already, they say in the evangelical world today, of who were church attenders back in February before the virus, now a third of people who were fairly regular church members don't even tune into an online service anymore, let alone be in together. But the warning is, it's going to get hostile out there. You need to keep meeting together somehow. But it's going to take a lot of work. Here's another one another verse, Romans 12, verse 10. Be devoted to allelus. Be devoted to one another. That's a very strong verb. Devoted. I mean, let's not be casual about this. Let's not just sort of say, well, I kind of, you know, and if you're an introvert like me, I do honestly enjoy not having one another around at times. But I'll tell you, it's fatal for us spiritually. And we need to work hard. And it's not easy right now, but you're devoted. That means if I try a virtual online group right now, and we've got many of them, and you don't fit in one, I mean, it means being devoted means you don't give up. You try another group. I mean, being devoted to brotherly love, to one another in love, means I don't give up until I have tangible connections with other believers that are regular. Be devoted to one another in love. And I'm grateful for our online groups. Thank you, Pastor Anthony, for starting those. I'm grateful for our Sunday morning groups. It'll be weeks and weeks yet, probably before our Sunday morning groups can meet. But I hear stories of them doing Zoom every week together. I hear stories of them getting together in parks outdoors where they can distance but be together. I love our youth small groups called Tribes. They're, as of last Sunday night, they're meeting every Sunday night outside. Sorry, it's going to be 95 today, but outside. Why? Because we're not being casual about this. We're being devoted to being with one another. This is mission critical for us, that we stay connected somehow. And you know what? And don't wait for somebody to invite you. You may be the person to initiate with a few friends. Let's start just getting together and doing spiritual life every week. Let's even like our online life groups, even if it's only 45 minutes, and we just spend some time praying for each other, and we maybe reflect on a question from the sermon or something. I mean, we just need to be accountable to one another, growing together, prodding, provoking, poking away at each other so that love and good works at new levels will come out of our lives. So stay connected somehow. And then secondly, let's not overcomplicate this. Let's not make this rocket science. This is something every one of you can do. Now, just for fun of it, I said don't make it rocket science. You know, that's my field, aerospace engineering. And so just for the fun of it, I took a picture of page 40 of my doctoral dissertation. There it is. That is mathematically what they call a complex transcendental equation. Complex not because it's complicated, complex for other reasons. And behind all the Greek symbols in there is quite a bit of calculus, and you can see you can see tangent functions and trigonometry and all that stuff in there, and a ton of algebra, right? All that equals, see at the bottom, zero. We rocket science love doing that. Just take some massive, huge equation and make it equal nothing. Well, I'm just playing with you. Because that's rocket science. But what we're going to read next is not rocket science. It's verse 11 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Therefore, encourage Alelus, encourage one another, and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Now, you can do this. Most of us think good thoughts about people, but I tell you, it is powerful when you verbalize those thoughts. Now, well, I don't need to hear it, or who am I to encourage that person? I mean, you know, the devil is pounding. The devil wants none of us to reach our potential. And so one thing he does, he's constantly lying to us, telling us, oh, you're not that good, you're hopeless, let God use other people. You know, or I tried to lead that lesson, and it didn't work very well. And, you know, the devil's just trying to constantly keep us short of our potential. But we defy that in Jesus' name when we open our mouths and encourage one another. And I'll tell you, criticism is helpful. And I get criticism, and I need criticism. Criticism is helpful, but encouragement is motivational. I'll tell you, you know, I can lie awake. I've lied awake at 2:30 in the morning thinking about critical things and worrying that they're probably right. You know, I am a lousy pastor. I can't do this or that well. Or I just missed that. Yeah, they're right. Oh, man, what's wrong with me? Maybe I should give this up. I mean, I've done that at 2:30 in the morning, tossing in prayer, going over those few critical things that people say. But I'll tell you, one word of encouragement can give me enough steam to go for 2 weeks. There's just something. I mean, I need the correction sometimes. It helps me fix things. Helps me with my blind spots. But I'll tell you, one word of encouragement can just put wind in your sails. It's motivational. I've had many people say, you know, I work for a boss. The only time he talks to me is when he's got something critical to say, or when she wants to correct me. And there's a lot of dysfunctional bosses out there in the corporate world. But I want to tell you, you don't need to be that. You're full of Jesus if you know him. You've got his spirit, and you don't need... You're an encourager, even in the way you manage and supervise people. I mean, it's not that you don't correct, but you do it. I always like to balance one piece of correction for 10 pieces of encouragement. Because we're here not to just put people down. We're here to provoke them, to love, to help them reach their potential, to bring love and good works out of their lives that they probably couldn't do all alone. We'll never reach our potential alone. And so it's not rocket science. Let's not overthink this. Let's not overcomplicate this. Don't sit there and say, oh, should I encourage them or not? I wonder. You know, don't make it rocket science. Just encourage somebody. You can do this today. Write notes. Part of staying connected is just texting each other more and picking up the phone more often. I know I've been doing that and doing all these things because it's so important, just this one another stuff. And may I also add, thirdly, don't be a know-it-all. Because, you know, we want to provoke others to love and good works, but we need to be provoked ourselves. And sometimes there's this arrogance that we have that, we size people up. Oh, they're such a different background than me, or they're not nearly as educated as I am, or they're way more educated than me. They're too smart. What could I ever learn from them? We just size people up. But in the kingdom of God, there's no skin color, right? In the kingdom of God, there is no racial distinctions, right? In the kingdom of God, there is no rich or poor, right? In the kingdom of God, there are no managers or mailroom workies, you know? There's nothing like that. All these human distinctions are irrelevant in the kingdom of God. In Christ, they're there. And that means there's not even, he's a mature Christian. Oh, he's way more. I could never be like that person, so I don't think I could ever learn from them. And there's also, I've done this and been rebuked by it. That's just a new Christian. I don't think there's anything I could learn from a new Christian. And then found out that's the person God used to really speak to me in a way I needed it. I want to tell you, we got to get out of, and our culture is increasingly becoming non-Christian. Our culture is increasingly looking different than the culture of the kingdom of God. We've got to live without these distinctions. And we've got to humble ourselves and say, I could learn from anybody. And this kind of humility takes courage. Winston Churchill put it this way: courage is what it takes to stand up and speak, and courage is also what it takes to sit down and listen. And that's where the humility comes in for us. It takes courage. Proverbs 20, verse 5 says, a wise person knows how to draw out the heart of another. I don't learn a lot just talking about myself, but I sure learn a lot from people's stories. People who've been Christians a lot longer than me, people who've been Christians a lot shorter than me. I learn amazing things when I just sit and listen to people's stories. And in wisdom, we learn to draw people's hearts out. We're just not always being the center of conversation personally, but we're listening, we're drawing, we're hearing people's stories. And we never write people off, say, I can never learn from someone like that. Because we're to provoke and be provoked, right? This is one another. This is not us and just them. We're one another, just being. So let's stay connected somehow. Keep being devoted to this. Until you are connected, stay connected. And don't overcomplicate it. Just start with just encouraging one another, building each other up whenever just the normal opportunities come. And then be humble enough to not only be the talker, but to listen to others talk and to learn from. Who knows what you might be able to learn from? And then, lastly, let Jesus do this through you. Because here's the problem. And it always comes down to this. It always comes down to our heart. 1 Peter 1, 22, another Alleluia verse. Love Alleluia one another deeply. Sometimes I wish God hadn't put that word in deeply. You know, love each other so I can redefine as tolerate. And to be honest, some people aggravate me. It just ticked me off. None of you, of course, but yeah, I'm just being honest. You're looking at me like saying, what a loser you are, Pastor. I never feel ticked off by anybody. I'm in awe of some people awe me and some people just annoy me. Yeah. But when God gets done with my heart, that becomes irrelevant. People I hold in awe and people who annoy me, nothing stops. When God's Spirit's done, nothing stops me from actually loving deeply from the heart. And there's no modifier there. There's no, as long as they're of the same race you are, as long as they're of the same socioeconomic group, or as long as they're educated enough for you to feel like they've got something worthwhile to say to you. No. He said, there is this, if I could even dare to use the word affection in a very pure way, there is a godly affection that God gives to us by His Spirit. And it comes from His Spirit. Look at Romans 5:5. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. Listen, this is the work of the Holy Spirit. God's love just gets poured into our hearts by the work of the Holy Spirit. So we love each other deeply. I mean, this is where we got to start. This is Jesus loving through us. Yeah, you got to be devoted to not giving up until you find connections, and you got to keep encouraging one another, and you got to keep listening to one another. But I tell you, if it doesn't start in the heart, you know, it's just going to be a lot of hard work that won't pay off. It's got to be Jesus' love alive in your heart. God's love has been poured into our hearts. That's why we can love one another deeply, through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. I read years ago a story of a church, of a ministry during the Charismatic Revival that experienced supernatural transformation. I mean, the power of God just swept into that congregation, like we're praying will happen in our congregation and in our city someday. And the Spirit of God just came. And the power of God, people were being healed and saved. I mean, there was this almost thick, tangible sense of God's presence. But the one, you know what, the one descriptor of that revival that stood out to me more than anything else, reading about it years ago, I still remember it to this day. They said, as God's power began to move among us, we could hardly stand to be apart from each other. I mean, we couldn't wait to get back to a service again. We just couldn't stand being apart from each other because God was moving and his love was being poured out by the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And we were beginning to love one another deeply. Love one another deeply. And then Jesus put teeth to this. Verse 8, just three verses later there in Romans 5. That God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we are still sinners, Christ died for us. May I paraphrase that last part of that verse for you? God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were terribly annoying to God, while we had grieved God's heart with our sin, he still flat out loved us enough to die for us and do for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. And then he said, that kind of Jesus love is what the Spirit of God can put into your heart. Because it's not optional. You get Jesus, you have to have one another if you're going to reach your potential spiritually. And it becomes not just a show, not just, oh, I got to go to this Bible study this week. It's I just love deeply these people I'm in relationship with right now. And we're helping each other grow in the Lord. And this is the miracle of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. I'd like you to bow your heads, close your eyes, worship.